Blog Talk Radio.
To everybody,
they did, they singled out a particular people. And because of that, we want to take our case before the world's court. Now, not only are we seeking reparations, but we're also seeking fair treatment from the United States government, because while they made the Constitution that said that all men are created equal, and it said that all men were justified and had these rights, those rights were denied to black Americans. They were denied to us, reason began, because to them we were slaves, we were chattel slaves, we were just property to them. We weren't considered to be human beings. So the rights that applied to the Constitution didn't apply to us. So after the Civil War and after the Civil War, they began to take steps to include blacks in the American infrastructure, and since they created laws in the Constitution, and they revised Voting Rights Act, they revived the Civil Rights Act. You know, we have the right, we have those rights as black Americans to be covered under the Constitution. So I'm gonna let somebody else chime in, but those are some of the things that we are currently working on right now.
Yes, sir. I understand that, and that's wonderful. I'm glad to know that you're going before the World Court. Is it the Southern Christian Leadership Conference?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, are you familiar with the U.S. Constitution, the Amendment 13?
You're asking me the question?
Either one of you gentlemen, your seat, please.
Yes. The 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, yes.
Yes. It says
absolutely.
The U.S. Constitution.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Amendment 13, it says that slavery is abolished. It also says the Constitution resists neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States by any place subject to the jurisdiction. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So really that explains the criminal justice, because it said neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime, where the party shall have been duly convicted. So that's why I believe they're able to get away with all of this.
Thank you.
Reverend Greer, would you like to speak on this?
Sure. So can you hear me pretty good? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, I can hear you very well.
Okay, good afternoon, Reverend Gann. Reverend Gann is my partner in the struggle, and we've worked together on many occasions, including up until the current period. So my organization, Freedom First International, which is an affiliate of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, has been engaged with this type of work. While we have not focused on reparations, if we were going to answer the question of reparations, and when asked, I said, well, initially I did not believe in reparations for our community. And the reason why I didn't believe in it is because I think that our community needs independence. I think that we need to focus on this juncture on the how to develop an independent state, independent of political structures, independent of an apolitical community that is not dependent upon welfare structures, not dependent upon some of the accolades that we've had, which have been a fault of the black community. You can start with welfare, and then you can go all the way down the line, because once you gain a dependence on these structures, then your community is dependent, and when those options are exhausted, then where do you go except for be lost? Now, in rethinking the process, and when asked, our community and our country does owe the black community an apology for reparations for slavery and the cruelty that that we went under from all the way from the 1700s all the way up into current day,
yes, sir.
which was still under the economic harm. Those checks for the harm over more than 200 centuries of slavery, Black Americans have been deliberately abused by our own nation, and it's time to pay restitution. So, you know, what I want to say, and I don't want to be long-winded, but Black activists and intellectuals have been making this point, and it's been increasing in volume through the years, even up until the point to where the last presidential elections, Bernie Sanders took this issue up more specifically. So we have to be able to look at how we can turn this into a, not from a call out, but we have to look at how we can turn this into a measurement on the table. And that's where we're struggling to explain that. But if we can turn it into an actual measurement on the table and not waste time, and that gives us the interdependence that's necessary, then I'm for it. But if we are stuck on this and we can't move forward from reparations, listen, we're still waiting for 40 acres in a mill. I didn't get mine, and I can guarantee you Reverend Gant didn't get his 40 acres in a mill. If we could just get that, then we might be okay. But, you know, we have several more itemizations that the country is owing to Black America or the African-American community. So if we can find out a real solution, a real strategy to how to make this tangible, then I'm for it.
Yes, sir, I understand that. I understand what you're saying, Reverend Greer, but of course I've already said I'm for monetary reparations and that Black people should do what they want with it, and for Africans and Black Americans, but I understand what you're saying. It makes plenty of sense, but I don't believe that people should be lounged out money and that certain prominent people within the Black race be over it. Over any schools and things like that. I believe that Black people have enough sense what to do with their own money, because there are other people, like I, let me finish, please. Like I do believe that it should go into jobs, education, and businesses, and that certain people should be over it. I don't believe that. I believe, once again, I'm saying Black people have sense enough on how to handle their own money. If they don't, they still get it.
Ms. Butler, please. Yes. You see, what Reverend Greer hit on is the problem that we're having. Okay, you know, most of the people in Congress keep turning down, you know, any act that comes for a reparation. The reason why they keep turning it down is they keep saying that, well, you know, none of the Black people that are living here today suffered under slavery. That were their ancestors who suffered under slavery. And America doesn't want to admit that it did anything wrong, because at that point in time, and that time in history, you know, slavery was a legal trade. It was one of the biggest trades in the world at that time. And as Reverend Greer brought out, you know, even our own countrymen, fellow Africans, you know, sold their brethren into slavery. And so when it comes to reparation, I just wanted to give us a brief history of it. You know, the first time it was mentioned was in 1866. By General Sherman. General Sherman introduced the act of the 40 acres and the mule, and that kind of went out in history. But then the Congress was going for it. But then in 1866, when President Andrew Johnson vetoed the legislation and took it off the board. And then after that, several Black organizations came together in about 1894, and they tried to do another reparation act where like every Black family got $500 to all the ex-slaves. And then they got like a monthly allowance or a monthly pension. It was the pension plan that they tried to establish, where they would get, you know, paid $4, $15 a month. Now if you base that on the economy today, it would be considerably more. But this is the problem that we're having. you know, everybody wants to have reparations, but nobody's coming up with a physical plan of how we're going to do reparations. So I'm going to turn it back over to you all.
Can I jump in right there, folks? Let's bring Reverend Gant's historical lesson, which is everything is true, to current day. Now, every year since 1989, let's notate this for our listeners, 1989, Representative John Conyers, Representative Conyers from Michigan, we all know who Reverend Conyers is. He's a historical congressman. He's helped out a lot of civil rights legislation over the course of the last 30 years. But Reverend Conyers introduced a commission to study proposals for reparations. It was called the African Americans Act. And as the name indicates, H.R. 40, let's notate that, H.R. 40 does not require reparations. It simply calls for a comprehensive research into the nature of the financial impact of African enslavement, as well as the ills inflicted upon black people, not just through slavery, but through the Jim Crow era. Once we have a strategy in place, see, how do you hit politicians? How do you hit Wall Street? You hit them when you start talking about dollars and cents. We can't come to them on passion and empowerment, even though we love our people, but we can't just say that. We have to hit them with comprehensive research and talk about the financial impact of what they did when they hung our people from trees and throughout the South during the Jim Crow era. And, you know, we have to talk about those things, and then remedies can be suggested, because guess what? Since 1989, every year, John Conyers introduced that bill, and guess what? Every year, it stalled. So what we need, I like Reverend Gant's remedy to take this information before the world court, because when you push internationally, then that big brother's watching. The eyes of the world is watching on the country. You have an extra level of support. We need that. We can't go in without it, because here's the thing. If we do, guess what? 2017 turns into 2027, and we're still waiting on the reparations bill.
Yes, sir. Right. I understand that. I understand everything you just said. That makes sense. But I believe the closest we, black Americans in Africa, even have come to an apology was with President Bill Clinton, but he also passed harmful laws. And back to the U.S. Constitution, the 13th Amendment. Pastor Gant. I just read Amendment 13. Could this be the reason that that so many black people are being sent to prison? Because it says neither slavery. Slavery is abolished. U.S. Constitution Amendment 13, but it says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted. You have to be convicted. You have to be a criminal. So it is within the United States.
You're live with me.
Reverend Gant.
Yes.
This is Dr. Carver here. You called me and invited me to this conversation, and I want to get in, because I'm hearing several things that needs to be exposed.
Well, you're in, Dr. Carver. Let me answer her question right quick.
Okay.
Now, the 13th Amendment, okay, we're in phase two of a process that America doesn't know about secret meetings that were held some 50 years ago when we was in the midst of our civil rights struggle and everything that was going on. The 13th Amendment is being used right now. It says that slavery is abolished, okay? It says that slavery is abolished except in the case of those that are being arrested for committing criminal offenses. Okay, now we have our criminal industrial process that's going on right now. And you see, because of the Constitution, they are legally taking our people and putting them back out there working for labor and working slave labor and doing all kinds of things.
To prison and being charged with felony and convicted of felony. Yes, sir.
Yes, Reverend Gant. Reverend Gant.
Yes, sir. Please speak. How are you doing, sir?
I am the Reverend Dr. Richard Cobble here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I certainly appreciate I'm fine, and I've been listening to the conversation. But as I come in on the 13th Amendment, that amendment needs to be taught to every black person in this nation, because that does give legal slavery for individuals who commit a crime. And that's not been taught. If that was taught to a lot of our young black people, they would probably think twice before they engage in any kind of activity. So that is legal. Those folk, when they get convicted, they go to prison. And when they go to prison, they perform all kinds of employment at the on behalf of the state at little or no cost. So the fact of it is that is true, and that needs to be taught to our young black youth so that they might think twice before they engage in such activities. In reference to reparation, speaking as a 100% disabled veteran, every time any of our black folk go to war, and especially those who have fought in these past wars, this nation is long overdue to pay our folk reparations. I don't care how you look at it. And John Conyers has been trying to get this thing through. And, of course, this proposal has been worked on by various organizations, even right here in Atlanta, other than SCLC. The fact of it is our people must be taught that we built this nation, steady building this nation every time one of our people go to war. I was in the Vietnam War, and I was affected by the pesticide Agent Orange that was sprayed in trying to combat or expose the enemy. But instead, that pesticide has hurt many of our military folks, especially our black military folks. Whereas even today, when a black person try to apply for their benefits, they are ostracized, or all kinds of delays are created, and a lot of them die before they ever get any money.
Right.
So the fact of it is, we got to remember that, and I want the nation to remember, when you treat our veterans, especially our black veterans, remember the Roman the Republic of the Roman government that only lasted about 277 years. Because they forgot about their military folk, got taken care of, the folk who fought their wars and everything, that empire went out of business. And the United States is currently 240 years old. If the people don't realize what is happening, we're going to go out of business, especially if we got this individual who's currently whose current administration behind the scene, and I'm fearful of this, and many of my veterans are fearful of this, that we're going to go into another war. And this is going to cause us to sacrifice even more. Yes, reparations should be paid. In fact, every indigenous individuals or group of people, such as the Japanese, Chinese, and I can go and name a few others, they have been paid.
We
have been
paid too by the United States of America. The Indians even got reparations. So, as most people know, they were here first. Did not discover America. Okay.
So
I want to say to the people, listen, sorry, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt you. There's a documentary called the 13th Amendment documentary, and it's on YouTube. And I believe the lady that has did this documentary is on is named Ava Duvernay. So it's on YouTube. For those of you who would be interested in learning more, it's also a really great thing, because it explains about the 13th Amendment and mass incarceration. And her name is Ava DuVernay. I think it's two different ones that she has. So I suggest that those of you who are interested listen to that. All right. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and I certainly appreciate it, and I appreciate the show and appreciate the information that you're giving out. But it's those individuals who are not well informed about history, and there's those individuals who have very narrow-minded, whereas they refuse that we should get paid. And in fact, when Dr. King was assassinated, Dr. King was not angry with certain individuals, nor was he angry with certain groups. Dr. King was angry with the systems. the system of the church, the system of the government, the system that still operates today, and it works against black and brown folk. And we don't see it until it hits us where we don't want to be affected. It affects us. And I'm sure there's many other veterans throughout this nation, black veterans like myself, who are angry and frustrated at the system, the way we have been treated. And then this administration wants to go into another war and going to sack us. We had a volunteer. A lot of folks don't realize we are at a volunteer force, and the number of people that we have in the military are limited in fighting some of these fighting in many of these operations around the globe. If we go into a war, that means that we're going to have to call up the draft. And guess who's going to serve if they call up the draft again? It's not only just men going to serve in a draft. Women are going to serve in a draft.
Yes, sir.
And if that happens, that means you're going to have to bring folk in to fight a war once again for this nation who refuse to treat their veterans after the wars are over. How do you think they're treating us? They've been treating us for all these many years, and they have not paid us one dime. And yet and still, we built this nation as we engage in military operations. We are still building this nation for a few nickels and dimes. So this is one angry veteran to say, I want to use some other terms, but I'm going to be respectful because we probably on public air to say that, yes, we need to fight for reparation. And I hail John Conyers for doing the things that he's doing. And not only this, it's not been, yes, they are delaying, but sooner or later, because this thing has not only been fought in the United States, but it's fought in South America, it's fought around the globe, fought in the West Indies, that they are saying, yes, we should be paid. Don't worry about how much we're going to get and when we're going to get it, but yes, make the United States acknowledge that we should be paid. For instance, I'm going to point out a religious group right now. When we went into the Civil War, there was a group of Baptist folk that was debated the Civil War. And so the Baptist split. When the Baptist split going into the Civil War, the American Baptist folk, they was against slavery. But the Southern Baptists, who has been in the picture and in every front and every system they are part of, and they apologize. They're supposed to apologize a few years ago for the errors of their way. But after they apologized and it was only mere empty words, they have done very little to show to make their apology a reality and make it real, meaningful to the people to which they gave that apology to. So we talking about sensible things. And so, once again, we ain't looking for no apologies because apologies don't pay the bills. Apologies don't pay for the pain that their actions cause our people over these many, many, many years. And so this
yes,
is
sir.
One angry, frustrated veteran who say, yes, hell to reparation. We want reparation. We're going to do everything we can to get it.
Yes, sir. I understand what you're saying about the veterans, especially the black American veterans, and you are completely right about another war. There was a time when they tried to put us on the front row, instead of the white soldiers. There are some airmen, the Tuskegee Airmen. I believe some of them are still living. Is anyone familiar with the Tuskegee Air Force or Airmen?
Sure we are. Yeah, I do. You know, and here's the point. I mean, the Tuskegee Airmen, you know, historically they were one of the first air defense Negro structures in the U.S. military that actually flew jets. And it was more of an experimental project, but I tell you what, during World War II, these gentlemen got out there and they did things that they would never say that black soldiers or Negro soldiers would be able to do, and they proved the world wrong. Not only that, but historically, you even have the Buffalo Soldiers, who were the first, who were the front end infantrymen during multiple wars, not several, but multiple wars in early American history, even the Civil War. And the Buffalo Soldiers were amongst the first linemen from, you know, who defended our country. So you know, there's a lot of historical data that we need, like both gentlemen and yourself have said, Ms. Bell. But let's do this. I want to bring all of that back to say that we have paid dividends into American society, and we built this country on blood, sweat, and tears. And we have not been acknowledged for what we've done. So henceforth, the case for reparations is very real, and it has to be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. When I say that, I mean that there has to be a measurement on the table. And that measurement, if we leave it up to Congress and the Senate, hell, they can't get a health care bill right, something that our people should need. So we got to be able to turn where we know that the finances are, and like I said, hit them in a pocketbook. Now, my suggestion would be, let's look at some of the institutions that have profited on slavery since day one. Let's talk about our banks. Tiffany & Company was financed with profits from the Connecticut cotton mills. Bank of America was one of the historical institutions that admitted that they sold slaves. You know, Brooks Brothers, the suit retailer, in the 1800s, they were selling clothing for slaves to slave traders. What about Norfolk Southern, the train line, which participated in, you know, they paid slave owners $180 to rent their slaves to the railroad to make the railroads for a year. So when I say that these institutions got to pay up, they really need to pay up. And honestly, I don't know. I haven't followed up. But I think that if we were to start with anybody, let's start with the people who service these companies and institutions that service us every day. We pay top dollar and big dollars to these companies. And guess what? We haven't gotten back in return for what we paid. So let's think about a program that starts there while we're waiting on Congress and the politicians to do their thing. Hey, they can pay out right now. Let's put it on the table.
Yes, sir. Reverend Greer, what you're saying. Okay, go ahead, Reverend Gant.
Ms. Butler, can I comment? This is Reverend Gant.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know, here's the thing with that. When it comes to black people, when it comes to black America, there's always a different standard. They don't want to give us reparation. But, you know, when Dr. Cobble was talking about serving in the Vietnam War. Do you know all of the refugees that came from Vietnam? The United States had no problem giving them restitution. They gave them like about $50,000 each to resettle in this country. After World War One, they did the same thing. After World War Two, they did the same thing. After the Korean conflict, how do you think the Koreans were able to come over here and establish themselves? Man, they gave them money. They gave them restitution. War referendums are different, but we know that they had no problem. They had no problem giving these other countries restitution. Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, they rebuilt those countries with federal funds. And America, you know, but when it comes to giving restitution to black America, now they want to get all, you know, technical and this and that. Well, you had no problems rebuilding Iran. You had no problem rebuilding Iraq. You had no problem rebuilding these other countries that we tore up in war. Now, all of a sudden, when it comes to black America, why is it that they always have a problem with giving us restitution? I'm going to let you gentlemen chime in on that because I just don't understand.
Well, the problem, let me share with you once again, the reparation movement was held at the ITC, the Interdenominational Theological Center at ITC here in Atlanta, Georgia, back here in October of 2016. And that was a gigantic, to my surprise, a lot is being done in that area. And I believe they're planning another gathering at the ITC sometime this spring or maybe in the summer. And I don't have all the information in regards to that. But the fact of it is, we know, and you're right, Reverend Gant, that all these various individuals and organizations was able to receive money as a result of petition, but we still have not received one red dime, and we're not worried about that. You remember so we know that they're deliberately delaying whatever they want to do, but we're going to force them. You know, you got to realizing that the truth stands to be revealed in a mighty way, and haste make waste, so you just can't get in and just be doing this thing. And I don't expect Congress to do it. That's the thing. Mainly because, number one, as I believe with folk who do not look like us, you have to convict them with money. Money talks and BS walks. And when we reckon, and that's why they're fear for us. That's why they are fearful, and that's why they're delaying, because they know when we finally get them, like about the Montgomery bus boycott, when the people and Dr. King revealed to them the plans about that boycott, the folk didn't believe in it right away, but when they realized the results that it was attaining, they was able to go through it through lock, stock, and barrel, and they was able to accomplish some of the things, some of the objectives they were set out to accomplish. This on this reparation, it's going on. Where we have all the details and all the facts, it is going on, and it's going to happen sooner or later that they're going to have to pay up. And I don't have no shame in the game as a veteran, especially the veteran, you know, because all our veterans, all our black veterans, we have proven it beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're not going to take it anymore, and then we're going to do everything we can to reveal to the world that these folk owes us. They made money on us. And just not just certain institutions. The whole country made, the whole world, the whole globe made money on us. And we want some payment, and we're going to get it. And I believe it's going to happen.
And then about the veterans, you all do deserve it, Reverend Gantz. And Reverend, would you please say your name again?
I am the Reverend Dr. Richard Cobble. I'm the past presidents of. Beg your pardon?
I was just going to say, sir, that all three of you gentlemen are part of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
Well, I have worked with the Southern Leadership. I have worked with the Southern Leadership Conference. I'm also I work with the NAACP. I've been living in Atlanta, Georgia for some 37 years. I moved here after I retired from the military. And the fact of it is, I'm a community activist in the Atlanta area. And I'm one of the past presidents of the Concerned Black Clergy. And I do a lot of work with a lot of our Metro Atlanta Baptist Ministers Union. That union organization been in existence 145 years. And so I work with these organizations. That's how, and I'm also an alumni of the ITC. And that's how I have so much information about the reparation movement. We're not begging nobody. We're not making no apology to nobody. And including some of folks who look like us who think, oh, we don't need it, or you know, we should just go along to get along. We're not even listening to those folks, because sooner or later they're going to join the bandwagon so that we can speak with one voice and be able to move forward in a mighty powerful way. But our greatest strength, from my own individual standpoint, our greatest strength is speaking, because we have participated in the war. We know what goes on in the war. And that is to be the greatest vocal point, whether they want to or not, in Congress, to say, hey, those folk mean business. And what we got to do is hit them in the pocketbook. And we can hit them in the pocketbook,
sir,
in so many wonderful ways.
Yes, sir. And the crimes that the United States of America, which is not united, because black people still have not got reparation or their full rights here in the United States of America. And the veterans fought for this country. And look how they're being treated, the black American veterans.
Yes.
So I don't consider it the United States. It's America, but it's not united. And Pastor Gantz said that it was deliberate. They are deliberately going to, well, I'll always remember Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown Jr., and the black American ladies who have been murdered too, have been beat up by the police, some of them pregnant, and things like that, some of them killed. It's just horrible what they're doing. They've always did it, though. It's just come to light now because of 24-hour news media, satellite, cable, internet. That's why more younger people know more than what they used to know, because of the internet and satellite and cable. But what I'm trying to say is this. I agree with Reverend Gant. They are doing this deliberately. It's deliberate. They're deliberately killing them because they know they can get away with it. And I just want to say that black people still have not got all their rights in this country. Two of these gentlemen are military, Reverend Lionel Gant, and I'm sorry, Richard, again, I apologize.
Okay, no problem. Sometimes it's hard for me even to remember my name. I'm the Reverend Dr. Richard H. Cobble. That's spelled C-O-B-B-L-E.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I didn't know you were calling in, but I'm glad you did. And like I said, the veterans do deserve more fair treatment than what they're getting, especially the black American veterans. I mean, I hate to put it that way, put it just as black, but it's the truth. They're killing us. They're incarcerating us. They're taking our children, our family members, and they're planting drugs on people. They're doing this, they're doing that. And all these are crimes, called crimes. The police, as most of us on this phone call know, that were originally started as the Ku Klux Klan, the police force. So that's the history of the police. And I believe that those of us who are on this call also know that also know that they deliberately not giving us reparations because of the power of money.
Right.
I'm glad to know that you're going to the world. Reverend Gant, what did you call it?
We're going before the world.
That's one of the initiatives in the reparation movement that they presented before the world court. And like I said, they're going to be planning another conference at the ITC either this summer or maybe once again in the fall to bring the community up to date as to what is going on. So believe me, and I know certain individuals who are moving around the globe in order to plot this thing. And right, Reverend Gant, and you, and young lady, you also correct. This is deliberately, and they using various delay. That this what made Dr. King very upset. Because these individuals, because we live in a place where they have multi-evil systems. In fact,
yes,
the system
evil.
Is so
yes,
evil.
The
system is so evil, and the people are so full of greed until the fact that they write us out of our history. And that's I'm working on a pet peeve to teach our young folk Bible study, black history, using the Bible as a resource.
Watch
long before
Watch
the
out.
Roman Empire, long before the Greek Empire came into being, our black existence was in place 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. Everything
yes,
that
sir.
We have in science and everything that we have in math and everything that we have in literature and reading abilities started with
okay,
black
sir.
And brown folk 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, and they're trying to write us out. They're not trying. They are writing us out of history. You look at any textbook in this nation, you will not find too much about black folk participating in this country or in the global.
Yes, sir.
Activity.
I have 2 minutes left.
Okay.
2 minutes left, but I want to go back to slavery. As we both know, they had ships, the shippers over here, our ancestors, as slaves.
And who financed it? Who financed
yes.
it?
I don't
That's
know.
Why the
I,
other folk, they're angry with us because they was the one that running the banks.
Yes, but the way the slave ships were, they were situated like if a woman had a menstruation period, she just laid there in chains. If a man had to go to the bathroom, just laid there. Sometimes they were on top of each other. Sometimes they were side to side. You know, they kept them chained. They mostly were kind of laying down. They didn't have a lot of movement. And some of them jumped overboard. But I got 1 minute left. That's just a little bit about history. In any bowel movements, things like that, they did it on each other. So that's just my part of history. I'm at 1 minute. Anybody want to say anything?
Well, I like
yeah,
the
I say,
report on
I say,
Chicago.
I,
going on.
Well, I say let's stop talking about it because we already know the cause. Now we have to get to the effect and start getting to resolution. And I say as long as we're talking, we're not bringing resolution.